Hebrews 10, verse 23, one more time, and it says this. It says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Now, the key to the strength in that verse for me is the last part. "For he is faithful that promised." It's God that promised it. And if God promises it, it's true and it will come true. Amen. And sometimes the Lord speaks to us. He speaks in a still small voice. Amen. He speaks in a still small voice. And he wants you to get to understand that you can have confidence in his word when it speaks to you. Let me show you my life verse now in 1 Thessalonians. Sorry. 1 Thessalonians. It's just a little verse, but it's a big verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Nico, you need that. You need that verse sometime. Because faithful is he that calls you, and he's the one that's going to do it. Now, I can't just tell you just how much that verse means to me. It's gotten me through times where I thought it was the end. I thought that was curtains, but God has got me through it. It may be the 11th hour, but God's got me through it. "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." He does the calling and he does the doing, amen, if we only will believe him. Now, as Christians, we carry a great privilege. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. My title of my message is, "He is Faithful." He is faithful. 1 Peter chapter 1, I think it's actually 2 Peter. It's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding and great promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Now, just imagine this, and this is mind-boggling. It says here that we are partakers of the divine nature. I mean, you think about in the Old Testament, they had a tabernacle, they would go into the holy place. And then once every year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. Once a year to make atonement for sin. But here it says that we are partakers of the very divine nature of God. That's the Trinity, amen. Father, Son, and the Word. And our Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And we are partakers with that in our lives. That is incredible. To think about in the Old Testament, just go to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians. That is a privilege that carries a lot of responsibility. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. "What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Verse 20, "For we are you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." The Bible is saying here that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. I don't fully understand that. But all I know is that when I got saved, the Lord Jesus Christ moved into my very heart. He moved into me. He pulled me up out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and he's moved into me. Sinful, wicked, vile sinner that I am. And he's moved into me. And all I had to do was open the door of my heart and allow him in. That is incredible. You think in the Old Testament, all the detail, all the stuff about the tabernacle, all the stuff about just the approach to God, how detailed it was, how everything had to be, how the high priest would come in, he'd wash his hands, and then he'd go closer to the tabernacle, he'd wash his hands again, and there's all these procedures. And all I have to do is open the door of my heart and allow him in. And I was thinking this, you have to be mad. If you're not saved, you'd have to be absolutely mad not to allow the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to come into your heart. There must be something wrong. And when it comes to this world doesn't realize the free gift of salvation that they are offered this day. And this This is the day we call the age of grace. That day of grace, that age of grace, is one day going to be closed, finished, and it's going to be much harder to get saved, amen, in the tribulation and in Revelation and all that kind of stuff. But we have a privilege today because we have a great salvation. Go to Hebrews chapter 2, please. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. And this is why Paul says, in Hebrews chapter 2, this is why Paul says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? How can we possibly escape? Because it took the Lord, it took the Father sending his Son to die a horrible death on the cross, where his body was racked with pain, where he suffered every imaginable thing, and he suffered beyond measure. How can we possibly escape if we neglect that? Amen? So if you're here today and you don't have, you may have a slight doubt of your salvation, make sure you're saved, because that is the only thing. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ that can save. We have a great hope. We have a great future. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. You know, anytime I feel down, I either do two things. I either listen to preaching, or else I read in certain parts of the Bible. I read in Psalms. I read in Proverbs. They help me. And also the book of Revelation helps me. Because in Revelation, you have the conclusion. You know that Jesus is the one that's victorious. Amen. And when you read the book of Revelation, man, it just blesses my heart to realize that he's the one that's faithful. He is in Revelation, he's called the faithful witness. And here in Ephesians chapter 2 now, Ephesians 2 verse 4 says this: but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love when he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us, made us alive together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Just think about it for a second. In the ages to come, when this little speck of life will be over, then reality begins, amen? Where we step into reality with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to show us things that will blow your mind, amen? And that's what heaven's going to be like. Heaven is not going to be a boring place, teenagers. Heaven's going to be a place where you will be glad that you stayed faithful in this life, amen? You'll be glad that you were a pilgrim, you'll be glad you were a stranger, and that he kept you, and you'll be glad one day for every sacrifice you made upon this earth. You'll be so glad. Go to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, we might go through some pain, some suffering in this life. Do you realize it took me 4 hours to get home today? 4 hours to get home because of the Tour de Ireland, was it? The racing? I was stuck. Took me 4 hours to get home. And I'm just trying to say that certain times in life, you're going to find yourself. And that's just a small little thing. I'm just saying that day to day, things go wrong and you end up stuck in traffic and things like that. But look at this beautiful verse in 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, working us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Aren't you glad that this life, that the most it is, and I know people go through a lot of suffering in this life, I don't make small of that. I know people go through a lot of things, very, very hurtful things. But it says here, in the weight, or in the light, or it says, but for the light affliction, which is for a moment, working us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, in comparison to the weight of glory, it's worth so much more. Amen? Christian, don't ever lose that spark in you. Don't ever lose that fire in you. Just keep faithful, because he is the faithful one. Amen? He is the faithful one. And then let me just say as well, because the reason we can be faithful is because our God is faithful, amen. Our God is faithful. Go to Psalms 48, please. Our God is faithful. We serve a great God today, and He is faithful. He is faithful in everything He does. He is faithful when we think He's not faithful. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. He is a great God we serve. He is faithful in everything He does. And let me just say this. In order for Him to show Himself faithful to us, we have to be faithful. We have to act in faith towards Him. Amen. That's what Hebrews 11:6 says. It says, but God, our Hebrews 11:6, just let's go there very quickly. Hebrews. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Just not a seeking, just not a heart that seeks Him, but a diligent heart that seeks Him with all your heart. Amen. That's what the Lord wants. He wants us just to put no limit on Him. Don't put Him in a box. Just keep Him and just realize that He is faithful. Whatever He promises, He will deliver. Amen. He's faithful. And the Bible, just going to look into this hymn book here. This book, hymn book, this particular one, has 530 some odd hymns in it. It's all about the one person, amen. It's all about His faithfulness. Let me just look at one hymn. This is called Hold the Fort. It says this, see the glorious banner waving, hear the trumpet blow, in our leader's name we triumph over every foe. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will. And it goes on in verse 4. Fierce and long the battle rages, but our help is near. Onward comes our great commander. Cheer, my comrades, cheer. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will. He is faithful, amen. Every hymn on that page is written because of faith, amen. Is faith on a God that the Bible calls Him the rock. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, please. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. He is the rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. Notice what it says in verse 15 of that. But Jeshurun, which is the old name for Israel, waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat and art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him and lightly esteemed the God of his salvation. That's the problem. We lightly esteem the God of our salvation. The problem is not God. God is a fortress. God is the rock of our salvation. But when it comes to us, man, we waver. That's what the Bible talks about wavering faith. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The purpose of this message is to help us in our faith. Amen. To help us to know. See, when you know the object of your faith is firm, is secure, is never going to let you down, then you get more and more confident in your faith. It's like you sit in a chair. You know that chair is going to hold you up because you've sat in it before. And the same way in the Christian life, when you know and when you've tried God and you've tested God and you know He comes through every single time, it builds your confidence, amen. It builds your confidence in the one that is unshakable. The purpose of this message is to just get our faith back on God, just firmly, 100%. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5 and verse 4. 5 verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I mean, do we really believe that? That means that everything that I struggle with, Everything that I find wrong with myself, every sin that I ever struggle with, God is able to give us the victory if we only believe Him by faith. Amen? If we only believe Him by faith. So the purpose of this message is to strengthen our faith, is to encourage us that He has worked every struggle. Amen? Do you realize He has never, ever let you down? And He never, ever will let you down. Amen? Because He's faithful. He's faithful. Even when you're not, He's faithful. He's faithful. And then to show you that, to keep your eyes on Him, go to Psalms 57. Psalms 57. Do you know how the enemy gets in there? He gets you distracted and he allows you to think that God is not able. And then you find yourself where you find some temptation or some struggle or something other than God, and you put your confidence in that, and that will fail you. But notice what it says in Psalms 57. Psalms 57 in verse 7. I like this verse. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Amen. My heart is fixed on one thing, and that's the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is faithful and He will lead you. Amen. Isaiah 26:3 says, Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee, for he trusted in Thee. Amen. He trusted in Thee. And then the also purpose of this is so that you would never quit. Amen. God doesn't like quitters. And I believe we just need to be faithful. Go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, please. John chapter 6. Sometimes the Lord will do something in your life and maybe confuse you. Or maybe you'll find something or get distracted or go astray and you feel like quitting. You feel like, man, I've blown it. But just realize that there's nowhere else to go. John chapter 6. The Lord saved you. He knows every struggle you face. He knows every problem that you'll ever deal, that you'll ever have in your life. And He says, just be faithful. Just stay the course. Amen. John chapter 6. John chapter 6 is a situation where it says there in verse 54, it says, Whoso eateth my flesh, this is Jesus talking, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. Now Jesus is saying something here new. He's saying something He's never said before. And it says in verse 56, He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. Now you put yourself in that picture. And you put yourself in a situation where you're hearing that from this person that you thought was going to be the Redeemer, and this person who you thought who was going to be the Savior, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who was going to reign. And notice what it says then in verse 60. Many therefore of His disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And when Jesus knew Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, Doth this offend you? And what if he shall see the Son of God ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profit nothing. But the words I speak unto you, they are life. They are life. And then when it says out of this in verse 6-7, then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Here is a great falling away. People are falling away from the Lord because the Lord now is going to the cross. Amen. People are falling away from Him, and He says, Will ye also go away? Verse 68 says, Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. This book is the very words of eternal life. There's no other book like it in the world. You're not going to find the peace of God, or you're not going to find peace, you're not going to find happiness or contentment anywhere else, but only in the pages of this book, amen. Only in being where the Lord wants you to be. And then verse 69, He says, And we believe that thou art sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen one of you? I didn't want to go into that verse. But the thing is, here we have an idea where He is Lord, and His words are eternal, amen. Those words are eternal. So that's the purpose I want to talk to you tonight about. Let's just bow and ask the Lord to help us. Father, please help me now, I pray. Help these dear people. And Father, I pray you would strengthen their faith. Please help them, I pray. Help, I pray, and I ask all this in Jesus' lovely conquering name. Please give me liberty. Amen. Amen. Now I want to talk about five things about the faithfulness of God tonight. And let me just say, number one, He's faithful. He's faithful that promises. Hebrews chapter 8, please. Hebrews chapter 8. He is faithful that promises. Now, in the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews is about one certain thing. It's about Jesus is better than everything that's gone before. That's just a central theme of the book of Hebrews. And you see in Hebrews chapter 8 that Jesus is faithful and He's promised to be faithful. Hebrews chapter 8 in verse 6. But now had He obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For it is the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. I'm so glad in the Old Testament you have different covenants. You have Moses and the law, you have different things that God makes with children of Israel. And He wants to show you right throughout that the problem is in the heart of man. And you cannot keep the commandments. You cannot keep all the different things of the Old Testament. The only thing that we can do, all of the Old Testament, is directed at one person. Behold, the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world. Amen. That's the whole purpose of the Old Testament. And He is faithful that promises. Amen. He is faithful that promises. He has promised us in His Word. He is God. He's promised that before the world began. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse 4. According to as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And that's not a Calvinistic verse, because there's many other verses that will dispute that. But just understand this, that we were called, we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. God had me on His heart before the foundation of the world. That is mind-boggling to me. The fact that before, even when Adam and Eve were there, God knew the descendants of Adam and Eve. And He knew once in the long, long future away from Adam and Eve, there would be a person named Kevin O'Keefe. He would live on this earth. And that Kevin O'Keefe had a soul, and that soul was eternal. And He knew that by going to the cross, He would save me from my sin. Amen. He knew that. And that's the faithfulness of our God, amen. It was before the world began. He is promised in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 7:13, please. Isaiah, He is promised in the Old Testament. And there's many times in the Old Testament, in every book of the Old Testament, you'll find some mention of the Lord in different disguises. Isaiah 7:14 says this, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call His name Emmanuel. And we know what Emmanuel means, don't we? God with us. You know, I'm glad our Lord and Savior. You know, in the old days, the king would go into battle. Not like in modern movies where the king sits on a horse and he watches all these soldiers fight, but in the old, like when David lived, the king would go into battle. He would be first into battle. And that's what Jesus did. He came to this earth. He lived the perfect life. He died on the cross. He humbled Himself. He humbled Himself as a man. And then He humbled himself even more, even onto the cross. And He died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. And He's gone before us, amen. He's gone before us. He's fulfilled in the New Testament. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Man, just get your eyes on that for a second. And then, let me just give you some examples in the Old Testament. Job 19, please. Job. These are some of my favorite examples. Job. Now, if you can imagine, Job is sitting on an ash heap. Job has lost all his family. Job has boils right through his body, from his very head to his foot, boils. And he's in agony. And he's got three friends that come his way, and they're miserable comforters, Job says. But then in Job 19, verse 25, it says this, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter days upon the earth." Man, you can take comfort in that. And it doesn't just stop there. It says this, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Whom shall I see for myself? And mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Hey, though my flesh, though this body will fall apart, one day I will see him, amen. I will see him who was faithful in this life toward every trial, toward every situation that I was in, amen. I will see him. I will see his hand at work in my life. When I thought he wasn't there, I will see how close he was to me, amen. When I thought, man, God has forsaken me, he was right there. And when I was going through a deepest trial of my life, God was carrying me, amen. He wasn't just there, he was carrying me. That's what the Bible says. And then let me just go as well to Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30, verse 4. "Who had ascended up into heaven or descended? Who had gathered the wind in his fist? Who had bound the waters in a garment? Who had established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? If thou canst tell." Just realize that the Old Testament speaks of the promises of God. They speak of the promises of God. And the more you understand the Lord Jesus, and the more you look at Jehovah, they're the same, amen. That's why it says in Philippians, it says it wasn't robbery to say that he was equal with God, amen, because he was God and he was Jehovah. All the Old Testament, every name of the Old Testament, every name, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nishi, all those names, they're all fulfilled in the one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is faithful, amen. He is faithful. And then he is faithful, he's faithful that leads. John 10, please. John 10. John chapter 10 and verse 14. "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." That's faithfulness, amen. That's faithfulness. He laid down his life for us. He only wants what's good for you. In Genesis chapter 18, 25, Abraham says, "Shall not the God of all the earth do right?" See, Abraham has gotten to know the character of God. And the more you get to know the character of God, you realize that he is right all the time, amen. He is right and he is faithful all the time. He will only lead you in a path that you can handle. Go to Exodus 13, please. He will only lead you in a path that you can handle. Exodus 13. And here we have a story where the children of Israel are just about to come out of Egypt. And it says in Exodus 13, verse 14, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God let them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt." God only leads you in a path that's right, amen. He's not going to make a pathway that's too hard for you to trodden. He's not going to do that. He's going to make a pathway, even though it says here that the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, let provincial people repent. He'll only allow you to go through what you can handle, amen. And that's what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says. It says, "There are no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but he will make a way of escape." Amen. He is faithful. He's faithful that leads. And then it talks about here then, he goes before you. Notice what it says in Exodus 13, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He is faithful. He leads. He goes before you, amen. He is faithful in everything he does. And then he will never leave you. Exodus 13, verse 22. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. He was faithful all the time. Even their sandals, even their shoes never wore out. Can you imagine that? If that was just that miracle was alone, you think, man, how believing the children of Israel would be. But that's not so. Because it's not in miracles. It's in getting to know him, amen. And that's where we can, how we can become faithful. He is faithful that calls. Because he does the enabling, amen. It says in 1 Timothy 1:12, it says, Paul says, I thank the Lord for putting me into the ministry, for enabling me. And then it says, he does the equipping. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. He does the equipping. Second Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3. It says this, all scripture is given by, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Now I say the word thoroughly, I'm not sure what you say. Perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, the Lord's able to equip you. The Lord's able to move the right kind of furniture in there so that you would be equipped. Amen. Just like Gina putting furniture into a room, getting everything equipped, just like that in a new house. The same is true with the Lord when he equips us in our life, amen. And it takes time. It's not done instantaneously. It takes time. It's over a period of time. And then, let me say as well, he does the changing. Go to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Sometimes we think when we get the victory over sin that we did it. We think that, but you know, really it was God. Really it was God allowing us to get the victory over us. Psalms 139, verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Hey, there's things in my life I want to change. And there's things in your life that you want to change. But you know what? And, you know, you'd like to get the change right away. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes the Lord, you know, the Lord, sometimes the desires in my heart are not right. But I realize, and this is the wonderful thing about being a Christian, that we're in an ever-changing mode. The Lord is changing us, amen? The Lord is changing us. Just by being faithful to a local New Testament church. Just by being faithful to spend a few minutes in prayer. Just by being faithful just to walk with him. The Lord begins to change you. Amen? That's the greatest thing about the Christian life is the Lord changes you. Amen. I remember there was struggles in my life. I remember with alcohol. Man, I thought I'd never get the victory over it. I struggled. After I got saved, I tried to sneak around and drink and all that kind of stuff. I wasn't properly discipled. And I made a lot of mistakes. Please don't make the same mistakes. But I used to struggle with alcohol. And alcohol got back into my life and became a struggle in my life. And then I thought one day, man, I'm never going to get the victory over it. But then all of a sudden, God gives you the victory. The Christian life is like this. You struggle. You keep struggling to do right. You keep struggling to do right. And then the Lord gives you the victory. Amen. When that victory comes, it's sweet, amen? It's very, very sweet. The Lord gives you the victory. The Lord gives you the victory. Because he wants to change you. You know, sometimes in your life, you're just powerless. You're powerless. You want to do right. I feel like Romans 7, where I want to do right, but something in me wants to go the other way. Well, the Lord, just give the Lord a chance. Give the Lord time. You know, he will change you if you only will allow him. And he wants to change you completely. He wants to do a complete overhaul. Amen. He's not happy with just changing you a little. He wants to change you completely. And He will do that if you only will believe Him. Amen. If you only will believe Him. He's faithful at calls. And He's faithful when tempted. Go to James chapter 1, please. James chapter 1. So you're a Christian. Everything's going fine. And you're getting victories. But you know, sooner or later, something's going to creep back in there. It's called the old nature. That's why the Bible says that in James chapter 1, just after Hebrews, James chapter 1, notice the language here in James chapter 1. It says this, let no man say when he, on verse 13, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then verse 15, then when lust had conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Now that word there, conceived, is do it with conception. Sin is conceived in the mind. When you're drawn away, and then all of a sudden you find yourself going down a path that you didn't want to go down because you're enticed, the Bible says. But just realize that He is the faithful one, amen. He's faithful when tempted. We looked at 1 Corinthians 10:13 earlier on, that He is faithful. And it says, 1 Corinthians 13 says, there are no temptations taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. And it says He will make a way of escape. That way of escape is turning away from your sin and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way of escape, amen. Go to Proverbs chapter 18, please. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. See, when you run away from your sin, you run to the high tower. You run to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only place of safety. And that's the way of escape. That's the only way of escape that we have. Because we have no strength of ourselves. We are weak. But He is strong. Amen. He is faithful. He is faithful. He knows what it is to be tempted. Aren't you glad He's gone before you? And He knows what it's like to be tempted. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, please. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You know, in Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus was in the wilderness and He was tempted, He was at His weakest. He hadn't eaten. He had fasted. And he was weak, but He did that to show us that even in that situation, that He is strong. God is strong in us. Amen. And that's the idea of that. We know that He is tempted, and then He can help you if you only ask Him. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. For in that He Himself had suffered being tempted, He's able to succour, at least that's how I pronounce it, them that are tempted. And that's the idea of He holds you up, amen. He holds you up, kind of like a hospital where He holds you up. We look at the word bond secure. The same idea is where He holds you up. And He's the one that helps you. If you will only allow Him into the situation and by faith ask Him, oh God, help me with this situation. Because a lot of times when we get tempted, we don't want to ask God come into the situation because we like our sin. Amen. A lot of times that's the case. We have to get to this idea, man, oh God, take that sin away from me and take that very desire of sin away from me as well. Amen. Where I don't even come close to that thing. The Bible says there in Proverbs 5, it says, pass not by the door. Don't even go that direction. That's the same way with any kind of sin. just keep well away from it, amen. Keep well away from it. And that's the way of freedom. And then he knows, he also knows how to defeat the enemy. Go to Romans chapter 14 please, or 16, please. Romans 16, in verse 20. This is a verse that I kind of like in a special way. Romans 16, verse 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. One day our enemy is going to be bruised. And this is a fulfillment of Genesis chapter 3, 15. First promise of God in the Bible, where he says, one day the seed of that serpent is going, seed of that, of the woman is going to come and is going to defeat the devil. And that's what we have here in the promise of Romans 16, verse 20. One day it's all going to be over. One day we're going to have, I mean, in heaven, we're not going to struggle with sin. We're not going to struggle with the old nature. And we'll have complete victory in everything in our lives. And then let me just say this as well. He's faithful to the end. Matthew 28. Now, Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, amen. He has no beginning. He has no end. But as regards to this world, he is faithful all the way. Matthew 28, please. Now, this is David Livingstone's, one of his life verses here. And it was just the last part of it was that was his life verse. And it says this in Matthew 28, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you all the way. That means all the way, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He is with you all the way, and he is faithful all the way through your life. Amen. Now, God has no beginning, has end, has no end. He is the faithful witness. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation, just a few more verses and we'll be finished. Revelation 1, verse 5, it says this, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the king of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And then also Revelation 19. Revelation 19. In verse 10, here's John, and it says in Revelation 19, verse 10, and I fell at his feet to worship him, and said unto, and he said unto me, seest thou, do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship him, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And then verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and his righteousness he doth judge and make war. He is faithful, amen. He is the one who is faithful and true. And then also, he's faithful to us to reward us one day if we've been faithful. Go to Matthew chapter 25, please. Matthew 25. I don't know about you, but there's been, in my life, there's been struggle upon struggle. The Christian life is not an easy life. But when he equips you, and when you see the change taking place, when God begins to change you, it's worth everything, amen? It's worth everything. And I want him to say to me one day, this particular verse, this is my goal. Matthew 25, verse 14, or no, verse 21. Let me just read this verse for the sake of time. He says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in the joy of the Lord. Now the background of this thing is that this guy was given, one guy was given one talent. One guy was given, I believe, two talents. And the other was given five. But it doesn't matter how talented or talents but it doesn't matter how gifted God has made you. It's just that you, if you've been faithful in what he's given you, amen, That's what it's all about. Just being faithful. That verse we looked at is just about being faithful, because He is faithful, and He has promised that if you will be faithful, man, He will show you just how faithful He can be. Amen. He is faithful, that promise, Hebrews 10:25. And then our faith becomes unshakable when we just see how faithful He is. He is the rock. He is that anchor. He is that solid foundation. And He never will let you down, not even one time. Not even one time. He never once fails us. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, please. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, in verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Man, that's incredible to think, not just for this generation, but 1,000 generations. I think of generations, I think of kids. And I think of the kids, if Jesus would tarry, the kids that are to come, the children that are growing up in our church, just what God can do. If only we are faithful, amen? If only we are faithful, because a lot depends on us. And He wants to prove His faithfulness to you, if you will only allow Him. The Bible says, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. Just begin to taste of Him. Just begin to allow Himself to prove Himself to you, because He will show you. He'll show you how big He is if you only will allow him in your life. But I find with a lot of us, go to one last verse, Mark chapter. I find with a lot of people that I come across, that there's areas of our life that are full of unbelief. Mark chapter 9. And this is dealing with a situation of a man that comes to Jesus. And he says in verse 23, Jesus said unto him, let's actually just go back a little bit. Verse 21, and he asked his father, how long is it ago since he came unto him? And he said, of a child. So this child has been in this situation for a long time. And oftentimes he cast him into the fire, into waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And notice what he says. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. See, that's the key. And then verse 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. You know, I find even my own life, as parts of my life that have unbelief in there. And I want to push that out. And I want to see how big my God is, amen. I want to see how big my God is. I want to see how big He is and what He can do in the future here in Ireland, amen. Not just in this church, but all over Ireland. Just to see people change. Just to see pubs close down. I mean, we think that's impossible. Nothing is impossible with God, amen. Nothing is impossible. It took one man in America, Billy Sunday, just to bring about all that. One man. And it still can be done today. It still can be done today if we believe Him with all our hearts, realizing that He's a great God. He only doeth wondrous things, amen, if we truly will believe Him. And if we see Him as a rock, as a firm foundation, as an anchor, the anchor that never loses grip. If we see Him as that, man, He will be so faithful to you, because He wants to prove Himself to you if you will only allow Him to. Amen. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, please help, I pray. Help us, Lord, I pray, to believe You. Believe You in a mighty way, not in a small way. Oh God, I don't want to play religion. I don't want to live this life and just die. And God, I pray, Lord, I just want You to do mighty things in our lives. Just use us. Oh God, help us. Help us just to believe You and never put a limit on You, God, because You are faithful. You've never let us down one time, and You never will. God, help us to believe You. Shake, I pray. I pray, God. I pray, if there, I know there's people here in this room and they've unbelief. They have unbelief about their families getting saved. I know because, oh God, I struggle with that. Oh God, would you just push that out? Just show us that you are an amazing God and you can do all things. And God, I pray you'd help us this day. I pray you'd help us and that we would believe you with all our hearts. And God, that you would. I know it's faith that gives us the victory that overcomes this world. And I thank you for this time. In Jesus' lovely name, amen.